prepared for the word. Isaiah chapter 55. Let's get started. Have you got it? And verse 11, this is God speaking. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. God said the words that he speaks will not return void. In other words, they'll not be powerless. They'll not produce empty results. Void means empty. God says the words I speak will produce what the symptom he sent them to produce. Do you believe if God says something, it'll happen? I mean, God didn't say, and let there be light, and he's going, where is it? I guess it's not going to happen. I guess it'll just stay dark. I said it, but it's just not happening. No, he believed when he said, let there be light, light would manifest. Because the words he spoke by faith. He knew he had creative power in the words he spoke. And so when he said, let there be, he knew it would come to pass. Amen. And so God says, the words I speak do not come back to me void. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Father, I ask that you orchestrate this message. Bring it forth in a fashion everyone can receive and increase from it. Now, Ezekiel's having an encounter with God. Verse 1 says, chapter 3, verse 1, moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. Now, he's in a vision. Amen. He sees this roll, this scroll, and God tells him to eat the words. To eat the scroll, right? And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat. And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. Now this represents us consuming the word of God. Jesus said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no part with me. Right? We understand when we spend time in the word, we're consuming the very body of Christ, the strength of Christ within us. Amen? We're eating our daily bread. And here Ezekiel says, the words I ate, the words that God caused me to eat, the words as I sat down and was just obedient to open my mouth, he gave me words in my mouth that were sweet to me. Amen. If you'll give God time and you'll open the book, God will make this book sweet to you. If you just be obedient to position yourself where God can cause you to eat, it will be strength to your soul. Amen. And it will charge your faith. So God's filling Ezekiel with words. Now, we know Jesus, when he came, he made this statement. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is in you is going to come out of your mouth. Amen? If you're full of unbelief, you will speak unbelief. If you're full of faith, you will speak faith. If you're full of, you know, movie quotes, you'll speak movie quotes. If you're full of the Word of God, you'll quote Scripture. Amen? And Ezekiel says, the words were sweet to me. He says in verse number 4, and he said unto me, God said unto me, Son of man, or the angel, I guess, go get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Now God says, take the words that I give you and go speak it to Israel. In other words, what you just ate, I now need to come out of you. Now, when God said, my words in Isaiah 55, do not come back to me void, the place God wants his words to be released from is through our mouths. God wants word to come out of our mouths that doesn't come back void or empty. And if you'll take time, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, if you'll take time to consume the word of God, Amen. It will develop faith within you, and then faith-filled words will come out. Amen. Do you believe that there's power in what you speak? Look at Proverbs chapter 18. We're going to go to many common scriptures to us tonight, but I want to make a point with this message. Proverbs 18, and most of you can probably quote these verses. Verse number 20 says, "A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled." In other words, God says, what you speak is going to determine what comes into your life. Amen. You'll be filled. Your life will be filled based on what you let come out of your mouth. We understand there's authority and power in the Word of God, right? And based on what we let come out, we'll determine whether or not blessing or curse comes back into our lives. It says in verse 21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Now again, he says death and life are in the power of the tongue. I believe he says death first because that's the natural inclination of fallen man, is to speak defeat and to speak death. But if you'll get in the Word of God and you'll do like Ezekiel did and open your mouth and say, "God, fill my mouth." Spend time to meditate the Word. Faith will develop inside of you. Scripture will be embedded within your soul. And then when you speak, Word will come out and produce life. The choice between life and death is ours. You know, we have a real flaw in a lot of people's church doctrine when they believe whatever God wants to do, He'll do. You know, we had a major statement come out a couple weeks ago. One politician says something about, you know, if a woman's raped, well, you know, that could be the will of God. He was actually misquoted. But he said, well, it's just God's will. He was misquoted on the thing. Amen. But understand, a lot of people have that mentality. Whatever happens was just the will of God. But the truth is, God put us on the earth, gave Adam a choice between blessing and curse, and Adam chose death, chose to eat the forbidden fruit, right? And allowed the curse to come on the earth. And now we are in a world, in a realm that has the curse released in it. We're in a cursed world where dead situations abound. And God says, I am now through the cross giving you the power to use the Word of God to redeem yourself from that curse. But it requires an adjustment in how we speak and how we view our situations. Do you view your life under the filtered glasses, you know, under the image of the curse? Or do you view your life under the influence of the blessing? Do you see that once you got saved, God redeemed you from the curse? Amen? Became a curse for us to redeem us from the curse. That God, through that cross, made it possible we don't have to be subject to death anymore. Or to dead situations. Or to the curse anymore. And to sickness and disease and everything else that goes with the curse. We have been redeemed by that cross. But you don't access the power of redemption until the blessing flows out of your mouth. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You are naturally in a dead realm, in a dead heaven, first heaven realm. But if you'll adjust what comes in, you can adjust what comes out. And then what will happen is blessing will flow out of you and determine what fruit comes into your life. And God wants you to live a blessed life. Do you follow me? So when God says, my word shall not come back to me void, the number one error he wants the word coming out of is out of our mouth. Amen. The problem is, if there's no faith behind what you speak, it could come back void. Did you follow me on that? Because God's word, to be really God's word, has to be anointed. You can speak scripture and not have it anointed. You can speak scripture and not have any faith behind it. But when you take faith and combine it with scripture, you don't have God's word. You have something that's not going to come back to you void. Amen? Now, we understand death and life are in the power of the tongue. And let me go ahead and get straight to the bottom line of what I'm after tonight. A lot of people in charismania, in the charismatic church, have learned that there's power in the words. But a lot of times I think it's just because of their much speaking. If I can just say it often enough, you know, it'll move God. If I can say it often enough, you know, hopefully one of those statements, there's enough faith behind it, something will happen. But the truth is, God just after somebody speaking in faith. Amen. And a whole lot of, you need to understand, there is power in your words. There is power in your words. And if you can believe the Word of God, and you can believe there's power in what you speak, you will see godly results in your life. But you must believe that your words do carry power. And when I talk about, what I want to talk about tonight is having faith in your words. Having faith in your words is being a person, and when you speak the Word of God, you really believe it's going to happen. And you believe it's going to happen not just because you convince yourself, you know, by that some mental, you know, ascension. You believe it's going to happen because the Word declares it's going to happen. That if you'll speak the Word, it will produce. Now, we understand that we're all new creations of Christ Jesus. You're not who you used to be, right? When you gave your life to Christ, you became a new creation in Christ, and you were given all power and all authority. Look at the book of Luke. Luke chapter 10. Let's go to verse number 19. Jesus says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." God said He gave us power to trample all the power of the enemy. Just to break that verse down further in case you're not aware of this, where it says He gives us power, trample on snakes and scorpions, the word power there is the word exousia. It means authoritative power. The power of position. Amen. Because of your position as a Christian, God says you now have jurisdictional authority. The word all the power of the enemy is the word dunamis. And that's the dynamite power. That's the power in operation. That's the power with force behind it. Are you following me? God gave us both exousia and dunamis. He gave us jurisdictional authority and then dunamis to back up that jurisdictional, you know, authority that we have. But here it says God gave you jurisdictional authority over all the most explosive power of the enemy. Your jurisdictional authority alone is greater than all the power the enemy possesses. Do you follow me on that? And he says over all the power of the enemy and nothing, everybody say nothing, nothing shall by any means harm us. We've been delivered from the ability of the enemy to hurt us. Amen. Oh, he might trip you up. He might try to set you back, but he can't hurt you. Amen. You might even take a lick, but if you know you're going to win, you say, "It didn't hurt." And it hurt. Pull a Rocky on us. That's the best you can do. We have this authority through the cross imparted by Jesus. Amen. But you've got to believe you have authority. You've got to believe that your words carry power. See, what I want to do is I know we're all speaking Scripture. I'm sure everybody in here, almost everybody, if not everybody, is speaking word over their life. And what I want you to do is I want you to get a realization tonight that when you speak it, it's happening. When you say, "By His stripes, I am healed," you say, "Bless God, I know because I spoke it. Healing is released into my body. I have believed, I receive it." Amen. And because there's power in my words, it comes to pass. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. "For the word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword," right? The Word of God is alive, it's living, and it is powerful. I'm talking about the Word of God being alive, has the ability to move into, take over and dominate any situation. Amen. Trying to think of a good example, not going into any more movies. It has the ability to shift and move in and release power into whatever situation you're in. The Word of God, if you'll command the mountain to be removed, amen, Jesus said to command the mountain, has the ability to go in as a living Word and uproot that mountain and lift it and throw it into the sea. It's alive and powerful. It's a living Word able to minister life unto you. Amen. You take in the Word of God and life comes into you. You speak the Word of God out and life is released. That power to access life is released through you. Amen. Life in the Word and power in the Word. So the power's in the Word. And we must believe when we speak that Word that power is released. If you walk around with a baseball bat and let me think of some type of an example. Maybe we can apply it. I've had the opportunity a few times to go in and demolish inside of buildings. I love it. Amen. Several times I've got to go into buildings. They said, just we're tearing it down, ripping it out, starting over this whole area. Just tear it out. Come on now. And get to take a sledgehammer or a wrecking bar, amen, or a big piece of steel pipe, whatever, big crowbar, and going to just start swinging. And I know when I take that sledgehammer, when I come up against this wall, say it's a drywall wall, 2x4 studs or whatever, I know when I pull back a 16-pound sledge, and I go at that wall with it, the wall's going to surrender. Amen. That wall's coming down. I'm going to hit it at the right spot to knock the 2x4s out, and I'm going to take that wall down. And I know when I hit it, it's coming down. Why? Because I have a source of power in my hands. When I take that 16-pound sledge and I release these guns on it, that wasn't a funny statement. It's supposed to be seriousness in the air. And I pull back this 16-pound sledge and I let her rip. She wants you to catch the full effect. I am taking the hammer when I lift it up from a place of potential energy and using my arms and the potential energy to create motion to produce momentum to create kinetic energy. And when that kinetic energy hits that wall, the power hits the wall is going to move. Did you follow me? I know that. Why? Because the hammer's in my hand. I want to create under the mindset when you speak the Word of God, there's an actual force, a source of force coming forth from you. That it's like a sledgehammer coming out of your mouth. Jesus calls it a two-edged sword. Amen? I mean, John said when he saw him, out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. What power came out of his mouth. I'll assure you, you take a big two-edged sword against the wall, it's still coming down. Amen. And I want you to recognize when you speak the Word of God, you're not speaking hollow words. You're speaking the creative power of God that produces universe. And I want you to walk around, I'm talking about ready to release. The World Series just ended, and the wrong team won. Actually, the wrong teams were even in it. Go Reds. But these guys, when they're getting ready to bat in the World Series and whatever baseball game, these pros, I mean, they've been lifting weights and everything else, and they put the donut on the bat, some extra weight, and they're sitting there taking their practice swings. They get ready to go up to bat, and when they get ready to swing, having played a lot of baseball, you take the bat back and you take your arms in a spring-like position. In other words, you pull your arms back so your arms are ready to untwist, uncork. And what you do is you're waiting for that ball to be right where you want it, and when it's where you want it, you're going to uncork all your power on that ball. And you know if you connect with that ball, releasing all the power you have, that fence is no obstacle. Do you follow me? They know there's power in that bat. And they get up to the bat, and what they're doing is when they go back like this, they're actually loading themselves. Never heard it called that, but they're loading themselves, ready to uncork or release that power. Amen. And they know they're up there for that purpose. When they're up to bat, they are there to put that ball out of the park. Amen. You need to recognize that God gave you a power. The Word you've spent time eating. You spent time in the Word. You spent time in church hearing the Word. The Word is in you. It's the almighty power of God, the Word of God in you. You know it's there. Amen. But you need to understand you're walking around looking for opportunities to uncork that power. See, the professional batter, person's not going up over the bat this size. But when the ball coming, he's not going to go. Unless he's trying to, you know, bunt for a sacrifice. But he's trying to hit out of the park. He's not going like this. He's going to uncork all the power he's got. Do you follow me? And we have too many Christians walking around speaking the Word like they're doing this. Oh, the Lord bless me and keep me. Oh, the Lord shine His face upon me. Oh, the Lord's healed me. Oh, the Lord prosper. My own money cometh to me. And I got a wiffle ball bat. You know what a wiffle ball is, right? Little plastic bats. They're full of the Word. They're full of the Word. But have not spent time to cock themselves to release that Word. You take a hunting bow. I got a hunting bow at home. Amen? Got a few bows. And you determine how much power is coming off that bow by it based on how far you'll pull it back. You pull that bow back, you know, to full draw, you've got 70, 80 pounds of force on that arrow ready to be uncorked through the release of that string. Amen? And it'll absolutely send an arrow. But you can take that same arrow, same bow, and pull it back an inch. Plink. And it might make it to the end of the row, you know. Well, that bow an inch, you pull it back, it's going to go. May still go through the window, I don't know. But it's going to go a little ways. But you pull it back a little bit, it's going to go a little bit. You want that arrow to go, you want to knock down your target, you better cock it to full draw. Take time to load. Take time to cock. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Recognize what is in you is more powerful than anything on earth. And quit throwing it out like it's just some meaningless words. Cock and fire. Sickness, get behind me. Lack, you're far from me. Glory, come now. Speak with authority. Believe what you speak. It's not enough to believe there's power in the Word. You must believe there's power in the Word that comes out of your mouth. You must believe that you're God's ambassador. And when you say it, all the kingdom of heaven's power is there to back up what you say. Amen. Scripture says that we should not... Oh, how is it worded? I can't remember the wording right now. Basically, we should make sure we don't take the rhema of God and turn it into logos. Amen. That's it. We'll be judged for every idle word. That actually means to make the rhema of God powerless. Turn it back into logos. To speak with no faith in the authority of that word. With no faith in the power of that word. You need to understand, you're spending time speaking the word. You're spending time speaking the word. I'm assuming you are. You're saying, my marriage is blessed. My kids are blessed. My children serve God. My children are delivered. Amen. Everything I put my hand to prospers. Now believe it. It came out of your mouth. Now believe it. Are y'all getting anything out of this? Versus waver on the power of what you say. The power of what we say. Speak it and say, bless God, it's done. I like what Smith Wigglesworth did that time. That guy was dead. I guess he wasn't dead until he hit him. If I remember the story right, Smith Wigglesworth had a prayer line. A gay camp guy came up and he was dying. And had a cancer or something like that. Smith Wigglesworth hit him in the stomach. The guy fell dead. Called him healed. Huh? He hit him. Guy falls dead. People come up and say, Smith, you've killed him. He's going down the prayer line. Smith, you've killed him. He says, he'll live. I don't really know what he sounded like. It's just my best impersonation. He'll live. And went on praying. And directly the guy got back up, totally healed, totally delivered. He believed that he'd prayed for him and that power was going to hit him to finish what he had said. Jesus called Lazarus forth. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus believed. The moment he said, Lazarus, come forth, Lazarus is coming back from the dead. Minus decay, amen, only with the grave clause left to remind him where he'd been. He believed when he spoke it, it would happen. And we're to have the faith of God. We're to have the God kind of faith. We must move into the place of cocking the Word of God within us and releasing it with authority. Do you follow me? When you go to lay hands on somebody, release it with authority. Doesn't mean you have to scream, you just have to believe it. I'm speaking it. It now must come to pass. James chapter 3. And these aren't new verses. But I want us to get a hold of it. This really is true for us. Kenneth Hagin years ago wrote a book. One of his last books. In fact, I believe we carry it in the bookstore, a little booklet. Called Having Faith in Your Faith. And religion went crazy. You don't have faith in your faith. You have faith in God. Yeah, but you got to have faith in your faith. You have to have faith that faith really works. And you have to have faith that faith really works for you. So what I'm doing is bringing to the point you recognize faith is released through words. Have faith in your words. Believe when you say it, it's finished. It's done. Thank God from that point over, it is completed. Amen. Nature must line up to obey what you say. James chapter 3, verse 6, says, and the tongue is a fiery word of a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. It is set on fire of hell. The tongue has the ability to set your life on fire. As it speaks the curse, all nature is going to bring curse into your life. But if you'll speak the blessing, it will have the opposite effect. Amen. No man can tame the tongue. What comes in will come out. So you must spend time bringing the word in So when situations arise with authority, you can bring that word back out. I have a pump shotgun. Patty's father gave it to me for Christmas some years back. It was his shotgun. A wonderful gun. And it's a pump. So whenever you shoot it to eject that shell and bring the new shell in, you pump it. It has a shh. You're ready to shoot again. Every time you cock that gun, you're ready to unload another round of buckshot. Amen. And that shotgun, that 12 gauge, carries some power. You don't want to be on the wrong end of that thing. Are you following me? But you can only pump shells through it to the level you've put shells in it. Amen. And if you shot all your shells, you can keep trying to pump, but you're not going to fire anything else. You will not fire the Word of God beyond the amount of shells you've pumped it within yourself. How much Word have you pumped in? That's how much you can bring out. How much faith have you brought in? That's how much you can release out. But understand, when you release it, it has power. It's got a kick. Amen? That if you'll take time and cock before you speak the Word. Understand what I'm saying about cock? Just within yourself saying, shh, shh. Take time to position yourself to release that Word. You know, with a 12 gauge, there's certain practices you learn to do shooting a 12 gauge that you can probably get away with most other guns, but not with a 12 gauge. For example, when you shoot a 12 gauge, you never hold it out in front of you like this. You will lose teeth. Amen. You learn when you shoot a 12 gauge, you spend time, you don't even hold it an inch from your shoulder. You pull it to your shoulder tight. You learn a bird comes up or whatever, you got it up there. Now you can shoot out here, but it will bruise your shoulder. I remember one time, this was back when I was probably 17, I was on the farm, and the shotgun I had then is 12 gauge, but it, you talk about a kick. I believe it knocked down block walls. I still got it. I don't like to shoot it. It actually rattle your teeth. There's no give in that gun whatsoever. And I was out hunting rabbits or something like that. And I had a habit of always checking my safety, make sure my safety was on. And one time I thought safety was on, I hit the trigger. I'm down here like this, got the gun out here by myself, you know, hit the trigger. Boom! And I looked down, and I got empty hands. My gun clear back there. I'm serious. I'm glad nobody sees that. And I'm thinking, God, don't ever have me preach this. Never make me a preacher. I'm going to preach about this. Gun was back there. Amen. I didn't tell nobody about that one. Till now, you're the first ones to hear, probably. I did not take time to be in the right position with the right grip before I fired that gun. Amen. And so you take time to shoot that shotgun properly. Amen. You can shoot it with one hand if you pay attention. I've done it just for fun. You can shoot with one hand, but you better have a good grip on it. Amen. Because it's gonna go for a run. I got to shoot a handgun a couple years ago. It was a 50 caliber Smith & Wesson revolver. 50 caliber. That's like what they put in machine guns. You better hold to that one. Amen. When you're shooting these guns of that size, you take time to position yourself, be pointing the right direction, cock, set yourself again, take a breath, and then you fire. Are you following me? Because you know there's power in what you're about to release. And we ought to be doing the same thing with the Word of God. Taking the Word like there's power in it. Don't take it in an apathetic fashion, in a lackadaisical fashion. Take it and say, bless God, I got the most powerful substance in the world. It's in me. It's in my mouth. It's in my heart. I've spent time building faith. I know the word's in me, and now I'm about to release it intentionally with force. And watch demons scatter. When, you know, the sons of Sceva, seven sons of Sceva went in to cast out the devil. They were trying to exorcise devils, and finally they came upon that one man. And the man stripped them all naked, beat them up, run them out of the house. And he said, and they were casting out devils like this. In the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, we command you to come out. And the devil says, well, Jesus I know. Paul I know. But who are you? Now, he was speaking the same words, but no real faith connection. You follow me? No knowledge of authority. Probably didn't have the authority. Are you following me? And no knowledge of it, certainly. So the devil's saying, there's no power there. I'm going to have me some fun. We have the power. We have the authority. We have the ability to cock and release. I'm talking about unload both barrels on the devil. Both barrels on nature. Command nature to line up. Command your physical body to line up. Command, you know, spirits are harassing your life to get out of the way. Release it and stand and say, you know it's done because you done shot it. Amen. I mean, try to think of the right spiritual example to give. But if somebody's coming at you with a machete and you got that 50 caliber revolver and they get about 6 feet away and you shoot and it hits them straight smack dab in the middle of the chest, you know they don't have any chest protector on. See, you know, a red dot there and things blow out the back. You can holster your gun and go home. You follow me? Well, what if he's not dead? He's dead. He dead. The hydraulic, you know, hydraulic shock, if nothing else, blew his heart apart. He's dead. Just forget about any other problems. You go on home. Now I'm telling you, shoot anybody. I'm just giving you an example. You follow me? Unless they come at you with a machete. Amen. And if you don't have a 50 caliber gun, shoot them two or three times. The point is, let's release the word and know it's done. You release something more powerful than any handgun ever built. You release the almighty word of God that created the universe. Believe in the power of your words. Believe when you said to line up, it lined up. No matter how long it takes, it's got to line up because you spoke it. When you said money come to me, it's got to come. When you said healing come into my body, it's got to come. When you said, devil, get out of here, he's got to go. Believe it. Stand on it. Cock and fire intentionally. You follow me? Because we got so much word in us. We have so much word in us, sometimes we just get haphazard with it. Go through our day. Well, bless this, bless that, kill, curse that, I tell the commander to die. Bless God, take time to just shh and release. And believe it's going to come to pass. Amen. Believe because you said it. You said it. It's got to happen. Amen. Believe there's power in your words. There was a Japanese scientist who's done some experiments in the past. In fact, I've shown these before, but I'll bring it up again tonight. Named Dr. Masaru Emoto. Did some experiments with water crystals. He took purified water from some deep spring and started speaking words over these crystals, over these water droplets as he froze them. And he found out the water crystals changed shape based on what they spoke over the crystals. You've heard this before, right? And so to show you some of these slides, go ahead and put up the Mozart ones. Mozart slide. And what we have, he's about to put up here, this is a water crystal. Now, the resolution is not very good in this blown-up version, but this is a beautiful crystal. Notice the uniformity in it of Mozart music being played as this drop of water freezes into this crystal. Amen. And he found out when you speak kind words, when you put pleasant environment around nature, it responds. God designed nature to respond to sound, even to thought and emotion. Now, he also took the same water, same circumstances, and he played heavy metal music instead. Put up that one. Chaos. Again, the resolution doesn't show it perfectly, but it's just a mess. That somehow, the environment created by the harmonious notes of the Mozart music created a better shaped water crystal. He did this over and over again. It's been proven time and time again by different people that repeated experiments. In fact, Meter did one herself. We'll talk about it here in a minute. He then spoke words of truth and goodness over a water droplet. Put that one up. Is that not pretty? It looks like a diamond ring, doesn't it? That is a water crystal, spring water, formed under the influence of speaking words of goodness and truth, love over this water droplet. Now put up the one of, I'm sick of you. This is under the influence of saying, I'm sick of you. Looks like a bacteria culture. Now what they found out is what sounds the water crystals are under during their formation changes their shape. God designed nature to respond to words, to respond to sound. I was watching a program the other day where they were talking about some quantum physics. And they said all of creation responds to sound. Every cell in your body responds to sound. Even nature itself stores every sound ever made that it's been exposed to. That it actually goes into the molecular structure and is recorded and saved within nature. And God gave us authority to release words with power. It will alter the state of nature. Another experiment Dr. Emoto did is he took rice. And he took rice, cooked them the same time, took equal parts, put them in identical containers. On one container, he wrote the words love, joy, peace, fruit of the Spirit type things, you know, blessing. Even as some of them prayed over. Some of the water drops he's done, he had prayed over. Blessings prayed over. And they changed shape as far as what they looked like. He took the rice that was blessed, put it on a shell. Took another one, wrote hate, anger, you know, jealousy, all these other curse words. Put those on the same shell. Left them for 3 weeks. After 3 weeks, he opened up the rice container that was full of words that said hate and anger and everything, and it was a moldy, putrid, you know, mess. He opened up the other container, and the rice looked brand new. I mean, it had not spoiled. Just by the influence of human interaction of reading the words. And that's not even through born-again people. That's the ability of man to shift his environment. And then God gave us the Word of God. Meter did the same experiment, right? Had the same results. They did it themselves as a trial. The same results. You can go on the internet and Google it. You know, rice experiment or Emoto rice experiment, and you'll find that people have repeated it time and time again. It works. God created this realm. See, this realm is almost... I mean, it's made of pure energy anyway, right? It looks solid, but it's made of energy. Every atom, every atomic particle is made up of energy. And so God made this realm to respond to our thoughts and our words. Amen. And we, being given all authority and all power, have the ability to actually shift the state of nature through what we say and what we believe. Amen. So cock and fire. Refuse just to go through Christian motions. Recognize we are the anointed ones. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He's anointed me. In other words, He's empowered me to go bring forth these supernatural results. He's done the same thing with us. Load up on the Word and look for opportunities to release. And release with that authority. You know, I'm learning to do this. I forget a lot of times, but I'm learning to do this. That if somebody shakes hands with me, I'm going to bless them. Don't have to say it. If I come up, if I can get Pastor Chad to hold Jenna's hand, we'll shake hands with him here. If I shake his hand, I'm thinking, I'm speaking under my breath. Father, bless him right now. In Jesus' name, I release the power of God on his life right now to alter his future, to bring victory into his life, deliver him from all darkness and all, you know, all opposition in Jesus' name. And I'm going to do it with everybody I shake hands with. Now I have a shake hand line later tonight, right? In other words, I'm caulking in fire just through human interaction. I want to speak to people. I want to bless them. I want to speak into their life. I want to speak with authority. Amen. We have that ability to actually use the Word of God in a forceful fashion. But you must believe that force is within you. Uh-oh. I hear Star Wars coming back up again. You must believe that power is in you, that you brought the Word in. You believe the Word of God has power. And you must now believe when it comes out of you, it has equal power as if Jesus spoke it. And you could hear the pin drop in the room. It has equal power as if Jesus spoke it, if you'll believe it. The only difference between you speaking it and Jesus speaking it is he believed it fully. He knew who he was, and he believed when he spoke that word, it would come to pass. Amen. But he did everything by the same Holy Spirit you do it by. By the same Word of God you do it by. Amen. And so, walk with a confidence in what's within you. Walk with an intent. Speak with an intention to bring change and believe that change is coming to pass. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 13, Paul says, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written," we have the same spirit of faith as Jesus. "According as it is written, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak." Can you see an intention in what he's saying here regarding speaking? You know, you talk to a dog. You got a dog trained. You go, sit, you expect the dog to sit. Roll over, expect the dog to roll over. Then you say, speak, and you're looking for the dog to go, whoa. Not 67 years ago, our nation brought forth a new. You're looking for, whoa, out of speak. When Paul's saying we speak, he's talking about you speak it forcefully. You speak it intentionally. God said he was going to bring us before rulers. Before great men. And when we did, we would open our mouths and he would fill our mouths and give us what to say. Amen. That would confound the leaders. Speak intentionally. Guard yourself from becoming a person that speaks 10 million words a day and none with power. You can speak the 10 million words, but then when it comes time to release the power, do it intentionally. You know, it can't be like, I have a puppy at home and I love cats, I love dogs, I love it, and you're healed. And by the way, I'm changing my furniture in my office. And by that, I believe God wants you to prosper. And I think at the same time, you know, that I need to get my car fixed and all. Like, the Word of God just mixes in while the rest of your conversation. When it comes time to release the Word of God, you know, when I'm working with power tools, when I'm running a chainsaw, when I'm shooting a gun, I tell people, don't talk to me right now. Patty understands this because we've had this encounter. When I'm running power tools, don't try to hold a conversation with me. Because right now there's power in my hand that could take off a limb. And I don't want to multitask trying to hold this conversation while I'm running, you know, a chainsaw. We'll talk after chainsawing is done. Does that make sense to you guys? Not that she violates it, but sometimes I have to remind her and say, look, not a good time for me to talk. Amen. When you're on the gun range or you're out hunting, it's not time for loose conversation. You have a deadly weapon in your hand. Not time to produce distraction. So when it comes time to release the power of the Word of God, shut down all the loose conversation and cock and fire the Word with power. Did you follow me on that? Intentionally release it. And then believe because you released it, it's done. Shouldn't be, oh, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. The Word says I'm healed. Well, bless God. By His stripes, I'm healed. I know I'm healed because the Word says I'm healed, I'm healed. You don't believe a word you're saying. Again, it got quiet in here. Look down at verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. But the things which are seen are temporal, subject to change, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We operate out of a realm that's unchangeable. And we have authority to function in a realm that must change when we speak. You got to believe you have power over this realm. Amen. Talking about two separate realms that we operate out of. Take the authority of the first to alter the last. Job. Well, I tell you what, Joel chapter 3. How many know Jesus said one of the keys of the kingdom? He said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The power of our authority is a key to the kingdom. Amen. Probably the primary key to the kingdom. The power of your words. Don't take it lightly. Joel chapter 3, have you got it? Verse 10. Beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong. Well, that would be a lie. No, that's an intentional release of force to turn weakness into strength. No matter how you feel, declare the word with authority. In other words, you can't do it like this. I feel plumb beat. I have no strength at all. But the word says I'm strong. So I'm just strong. In Jesus' name, I'm strong. Praise God. I'm the weak saying I'm strong. Cock it. Bless God. I'm about to release the authority of the word of God on this physical body. Body, you get ready. I'm about to unload on you in Jesus' name. Now, body, in Jesus' name, I speak you strong. And you rise up in that strength. You lock your faith in on it. You believe it because you said it. I want you to believe it because you said it. Not because the Word said it only, but because you said what the Word says. You spoke with authority. Amen. Job 22. Right before Psalms. Verse 27 says, Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Don't have time to teach on vowing tonight, but verse 28 says, Thou shalt decree a thing. Decree, declare, out loud, state, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. He says, decree it, and it shall be established. You have establishment power. You have foundation-creating power. You have mountain-moving power. Believe if you say it, it's got to come to pass. Now listen, don't bite off the whole mountain one time. Well, I just speak right now, world peace. Just get peace in your own house, first of all, then we'll talk about getting world peace. Are you following me? Let's get peace in Georgetown, then we'll talk about world peace. Amen. Bite off what you can lock your faith onto. Well, I believe for world peace. No, you don't. You can't. Because Jesus said there'd be wars and rumors of wars up at the end of the time. You know, time of the end. How can you believe what's contrary to the Word? Amen. Just believe for peace in your life and in your surroundings. Start there and see where God leads you. Decree it, and it shall be established unto you. Hebrews chapter 10. We'll close with this verse. Chapter 10, verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, after that you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." Now he's talking about sometimes when you speak, there is a delay time between what you speak and the manifestation. But he says, don't let go of your faith. Don't let go of your confidence. Hold fast you believed you received. And refuse to be moved by Mr. Ponytail. Refuse to be moved by circumstances and situations. Here's what I want you to get the revelation of before we're done tonight. You have power in what you speak. And when you release it, do it intentionally. Amen? Did you get anything out of this tonight? Praise you, Jesus. In other words, it's in you. Let's release it. Look for opportunities to pray for people. Command situations to shift. See, the church has got to come out of this namby-pamby. Well, if it be thy will, oh God, please move mindset. He gave us authority. Speak and release that power. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. Praise you, Jesus. You've got to get out of this little light mentality. What little light? I didn't give you no little light. Amen. You're to be a shining beacon, hope and power. Praise you. And if you got a little light, just fuel it. It'll get bigger. The more fuel you put on that little light, that little fire, the bigger it'll get. Stand your feet with me. Let's glorify Jesus.